Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle. Sam Word alongside Kyle Etherington here to bring you another recap of this week in sports here in Clinton County. We'll talk with head coach Jeremy Finley. We've got a whole bunch of coaches lined up today, so stick with us. But Coach Finley is in studio, and we're going to get right to him. Coach Finley, a tough game last night against Carroll. Carroll just looked outstanding, especially in the trenches, is what you mentioned. And that's what we were talking about last night. Their offensive line, defensive line, just got out and fired on you guys.
Yeah, I mean, again, like I said last week, you know, I have nothing but the most respect for Coach Betzner and his staff up there. We had some trouble executing last night. You don't ever want to make excuses, you know, but we kind of talked about the unfortunate news that we kind of got Thursday. I said, you know, I thought we had a really good Tuesday, Wednesday practice. Like, I thought the guys were really focused, locked in. Thursday, something didn't feel right. Then we got the news, the passing of one of our legendary coaches. And then just even myself, who was blessed to be able to be coached by that gentleman, you know, it almost hit like when Coach Gilbert, you know, like you try to stay focused, but your mind wanders. And we're not making any excuses, you know, like we just had some trouble executing last night. So we'll go back this week and I'll take a look at what things I could have done differently. I know Coach Douglas and I talked this morning. He's already got some ideas on the offense on kind of how to dial this in, right? So, like, when you choose the type of offense we run, right, like, it's feast or famine, mm-hmm. right? So, and the longer you get into the season, you know, like, because you do run a very particular offense where it's not multifaceted, right? It's all based on execution. So sometimes teams can try to scheme a little bit better, right? So, like, you just try to figure out, like, the little twists, you know, to make it a little bit more lethal. You know, like, our guys still ran hard. Like, we still we're still competitive in that aspect. It's just, you know, even on the offensive and defensive side of the ball, we just didn't execute real great, you know. Like, now I will say, like I did tell the guys last night, I did feel if we're looking at the holistic picture, like I did feel like on special teams we did some pretty neat things, you know. Like we're pretty efficient at five or less with our fake punt. You know, we've got several of those. We got a few of those worked in. We talked about Alvaro, our foreign exchange student from Spain, being able to kind of let him finally come in and experience some American football. And, you know, that second half kickoff put that dude right in the end zone. So we're looking for some great things from Alvaro, and he can be a real big contributor. And, you know, anything can happen. We got two more weeks, and then once we get into the tournament, you know, it's you never can tell what's going to happen. So, yeah, we're pretty optimistic.
I'd love to talk a little bit more about Alvaro, a foreign exchange student from Spain. Came in and he played soccer, but obviously Clinton Central doesn't have a soccer team, so they said, "Hey, what about football?" And so he got approved to come play, and he finally got his practices in. And so that last night was his first opportunity. And I heard a story last night up in the press box that he tweaked his leg a little bit in practice, and you said, "Hey, it's okay. You can kind of just rest and take it off." Well, Coach, I can try kicking with my other leg. Is this true?
That is absolutely true. So, like, first of all, like, he tries to put the ball a million yards away, right? So, like, there is no, like, hey, you could just kind of squib kick. Like, when he kicks, like, he's kicking the football. You know, and sometimes as a kicker, right? So, especially when you have those specialty guys, like, he didn't warm up. Like we just we're real sure what his skill set was going to be. So we just threw him out there and said, "Hey, kick a couple," and like 70 yards through the back. Like, at one point I'm like, "Hey, I need you to try to put this in the cornfield." And it like went outside the back of the end zone. So that's why he tweaked his leg, right? Like, mm-hmm. he was just trying to give it his all. And I was like, "Well, you know, there's no reason to like hurt yourself. Like, if you want to just throttle down, like, we've kind of seen where you're at." And he's like, "Well, Coach, I can kick left footed too." And I was like, "What?" And then, sure enough, he got up there, and I mean, it's almost. I mean, there's only a slight differential in his ability with his right or left foot. So, you know, he was practicing, and then on Thursday we said, "Hey, we're going to give you three kicks," and he went 25, 35, 45 field goals, like right down the pipe with more distance to go.
Wow.
So, and then like last night, I asked him, like, "How's your leg feel?" He says, "Feels good, Coach." I'm like, feels good as in like I can squib kick, or like feels good as like I can let it go. And he's like, I can kick. And he did. So yeah, he's a great kid, you know, just really starting to, like, he came to the school a little bit later, right? So like that's why it's kind of now that he's kind of got through the process. So, you know, I've got to talk to him the last couple of weeks and kind of get to know him, you know. And it's always great when you have those foreign exchange students, right? So like someone in, like, I retired from the military, right? So I had a chance to travel, and I actually had been to Spain. And so, like, you know, we have had some good stories and just kind of had some similar experiences based in, you know, in Madrid and everything. So it's really good when you have an opportunity for our kids, you know, living here in Clinton County to get exposed to some culture. Just so sometimes one to see that, like, the world is bigger than just the Clinton County and the local area, but just kind of see sometimes, you know, like how diverse the world really is.
And one thing that I really noticed was us being in the press box, as soon as he kicked that one that went toward the cornfield, it was almost as if the audience gasped because they were so shocked. I believe the Carroll guys that were back, they, you know, they had to take a few more steps back as well. But one thing that really stuck out to me, very first person to meet him was Nate Wells. And Nate jumped up on him and patted him on the helmet. And how have the kids done in acclimating him to the team and everything like that? Because it looks like the camaraderie was second to none, especially at that moment last night.
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, like, we are a family, right? So once you're in the family, you're in the family, right? Like I told somebody last night, I can't remember. I was like, but you got to be careful because we're a dysfunctional family at times, so, right? Like, but we're a family, right? So, you know, it's like anything, guys are unsure at first, you know, like this kid comes in, but I remember like the first time that he was at practice and we were off doing some scout stuff, and our field, like we have our practice field, and then there's a little section with the goal post set up and stuff. So like he's off kicking field goals with another coach, but like he's back, I don't know, 35 yards or so, but like just when he kicks, you can hear it. So like we're kind of in a pause there, kind of getting a formation set, but then you hear him kick the ball and everybody turns around, and I mean it just, and then they just start cheering, right? Cause I mean everybody understands, right? Like if you can have a good kicking game, like that is a huge tactical advantage, right? So when you're not just one-dimensional in your special teams and especially in your kicking game, like that can bring a lot of options that you may not have necessarily had. And I think the guys appreciate that and understand. Like our guys are very studious of the game, especially like Nate Wells and Clayton Stevens. And you know, and I even noticed that Creed Menon ran over there, Amber Barrett, like all the – so like, again, like I said, once you're in, you know, and then – but everybody understands, you know, like this is a team effort, a family effort. So they embrace him and everybody's excited.
And there's a social media post from Clinton Central Football thanking the seniors. It's kind of one of those old style, it's a photograph, but it's one of like kind of like one of those old style paintings where you've got everybody with their number and they're walking out to the field. Yeah, coach is showing me the picture of it. I thought that was pretty cool. We wanted to talk about the seniors. Describe this senior class. I know it's only your second year as the head coach and everything, but describe what these seniors have meant to not just you, but the program at large.
Well, so yes. So, two things. One, you know, last year we had one senior manager, one senior player, you know, so Amelia and Dougie did great. But it's always, you know, when that's your top echelon, right? So, this senior class, you know, I mean, I've got a lot of personal ties to a lot of these kids just from their families. Went to high school, graduated with a couple of their parents, just been in the community. So, you know, that's kind of what's different here than like when I was at Westfield. Like I was super close to my players and some families, but like there was still like such a huge group of them that like you just, it was really hard to get like the actual personal connection. But like this senior class, like I've spent the last 2 years with them, like this last off season, I was with them like more than I was my own family, just trying to figure out like where this was going to go, you know? And then, you know, Colin Washburn comes in, transfer, really getting to know him. And he comes in because of his situation, and he's friends with Danny Holton and Blaine Primo through their church. So the fact that those guys and their families thought enough of me and our program and our school and administrators to want him to be a part of it, and then his family taking a chance, him taking a chance. You know, Juan Aguilar is another one who's been fabulous for us, been here 2 years. Juan's role has been up and down, and you know, and but Juan has always been steadfast, you know, and whenever I've asked him to do things or ask his opinion, and you know, and we have a very transparent program, right? Like sometimes I give a hard truth, but I've received some hard truths from some kids too, like, you know, like, coach, like, whatever, this ain't right, or can we talk about this? And you know, and in fact, me and Juan had one of those conversations just last week, you know, where I was kind of failing a little bit as a coach, and when it came to him specifically, and you know, and we had a good talk about it and got some things worked out. So Nate Wells, you know, like we talked about him last week, you know, Nate's dad and I graduated high school together. But I actually, so me and Nate actually have a history prior to this. So when I was coaching at Westfield, I still kind of, they did like a fundraiser thing and you can sponsor kids, right? So like every year I would send, I don't remember, $20-$25 to Nate through his dad, you know, just to kind of help with whatever the program needed. So I had been kind of following Nate from afar, just as a fan of Clinton Central football, even though I was coaching somewhere else. And then, like I said, through my friendships. But, you know, seniors are always special. You know, we were talking last night, you know, like that was the last guaranteed time they'll get to play on that field. Wasn't the result we wanted from the scoreboard, but I feel that the biggest thing that this senior class can take is like they're going to be the basis for what we will think will be the culture change. I mean, we won 3 games in 4 years, right? And, you know, and even if we don't win another game this year, right, like we are 300% better than we were last year, right? So
exactly.
And we're going to keep the pro, and these guys are a big part of it, right? So when you look at the work these guys did in the off season, and we went out, we had 17 kids on the roster last year. I think we're at 35 now, you know, just through attrition, right? You lose a couple. And those seniors have a huge part of that, right? So, like, the fact that we didn't pressure recruitment, we just kind of talked to the seniors, said, hey, this is going to kind of be your program, like, wherever we see it going, just go out and tell your story and see what happens. So, like, they've been a huge part of the culture change, both on and off the field, in the locker room. You know, like, we have a study table every Thursday, and we open it up. It's not just for football players. We actually have students who aren't even athletes come in, and great support from the staff and the administration, and all of our senior captains are usually there, peer tutoring, mentoring, giving advice, doing things, helping kids get their grades together. That's kind of like when I talk about our program, that's kind of the big thing that I'm actually most proud of, is like we don't have the academic troubles that we had the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of that is because of the seniors being able to convince and get some things fixed for us.
And the teachers definitely appreciate that, I'm sure. Absolutely. You're right.
Well, we've got the greatest teachers. Like, shout out to my fellow staff and teachers. You know, as a former student, right, like I remembered what it was like having those teachers in the building that weren't only supporters of athletics, right, but of our band and choir and other things. So it's just really great to have a staff that supports you, and administration is phenomenal.
Absolutely. And before we wrap up, I'd love to just kind of look ahead at next week. You got Delphi on the road next week, and they put up a really tough fight against Sheridan last night before falling 21-7. Just some quick thoughts about Delphi. Obviously, so much going on with your team this week, and you want to just kind of give them a day off today, but you come back to work on Monday. What are your just initial thoughts on that matchup?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, you don't ever want to put the cart in front of the horse, right? But, like, the one thing I've learned, especially this season, anybody can beat anybody. I mean, if it's not relevant, then look just last week with Sheridan Taylor, right?
Like, absolutely.
Both phenomenal programs, don't get me wrong, right? But, like, if anybody goes into that and says, Taylor's going to win 12-11, right, at Sheridan, like, people would have looked at you like you were silly, right? So, you know, and I mean, you know, Delphi's a great program. Prairie and Delphi come down to overtime, you know, and I feel like we were really competitive against Prairie, you know, so I mean, like, it just, you just never can tell on Friday, right? So what does it really boil down to? What coaching staff can get their boys ready to go and what players are going to make the plays? And I feel that, you know, week in and week out, you know, our boys do what they're supposed to do. Sometimes, you know, I lack in certain areas, you know, but that's but that's part of the beast too, right? Like I said, a year right. two, like, you're still trying to work out some of your scheme things and personnel and putting kids in the right position. You know, like, I think we're getting really close to figuring out the formula, especially from the defensive side. You know, statistically, we're still a pretty good defense. We've had a couple games where, you know, truth be told, like, I got out schemed, and, you know, that's the nature of the beast, right? Like I told the guys last night, this the whole time I've been doing this, right? Like, you're going to lose way more football games than you're going to win. The difference is, like, how do you come back from as a coach and as a player?
Well, thank you, Coach, for joining us. You can watch last night's game on HoosierLandTV.com, the Carroll versus Clinton Central. Once again, thanks for joining us, Coach.
Yes, sir. No juice, no use.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. We got quarter two coming up with head coach James Byers from the Frankfort Hot Dogs football team. You're listening to Inside the Huddle.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winski Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winski Brothers, inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort, or visit WinskiBrothers.com. Winski Brothers, because size definitely matters.
The news team you depend on has expanded our news coverage area online. Log on to the new BooneCountyDailyNews.com. Find the latest from Lebanon, Zionsville, and all throughout Boone County. BooneCountyDailyNews.com for the latest weather, sports, and news information with WILO.
Ag News, the Farmer Forum, the Free For All, and a lot more. Hi, everyone. I'm AgriTalk host Chip Flory. Join me each weekday morning at 11 right here on WILO for a conversation dedicated to rural America and agriculture. AgriTalk brings you the news, information, and perspectives you need to get to the meat of the issues that matter the most to your farm. Join me for AgriTalk weekdays at 11 on your Ag Leader in North Central Indiana, WILO.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, Sam Word alongside Kyle Etherington, here to bring you quarter number two, and we've got head coach James Byers from the Frankfort Hot Dogs on the line. Coach, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How about you?
Doing pretty well. You ran into a really, really good Danville team last night. Danville was able to take the game 64-16. Just talk a little bit about the game, recap it a little bit. Played a little bit better in that second half.
Yeah. Our guys, you know, we came out a little flat, and that's on me. I got to find a way to get them going, get them off the bus with some more energy. But then we woke up a bit, played, got the ball moving a little bit in the second quarter. You know, special teams were an issue where we spot a ranked team 16 points. Like, that's going to make for a tough half. You know, we had a bad snap on a punt, and then the very next kickoff return, we fumble that and give up a touchdown there too. So we're definitely going to have to put a little bit more emphasis on our special teams this week and clean some stuff up in the back end there. But then we made some adjustments at halftime and came out, and that was the focus. Was like, who's got some fight left in them? Who's going to be that guy that doesn't matter what the scoreboard says, that they're going to go out and they're going to play hard every snap. And we found that last night, and our guys stepped up to the challenge, and it was, hey, wipe the scoreboard and let's go win the second half. And that's what we did. You know, the second half score was 16-12. And so we're really proud of our guys for the way that they competed, the way that they finished strong. And then, you know, the message was, let's finish the season strong. Let's take this second half and build on it, and then take it into these last two games against Northmont and Crawfordsville.
And when we talked before the season, one of the things that you mentioned was man, it would be really nice to win against Montgomery County. And so Northmont and Crawfordsville, two matchups coming up to end the season. Northmont next week, what do you see in them, and what are just the initial thoughts on that matchup?
Oh, man, they're a tough-nosed team, right? Josh Thompson's a great coach, and his kids are always physical. They play disciplined football, and so it's going to be a heck of a matchup. They're kind of in the same boat. We are a little banged up. They're kind of reeling off of a disappointing loss last night to Tri-West, and so I know those guys are going to be hungry. Our guys are hungry. And this has always been a very physical game between these two teams. It's been a very close game the last 4 years. And so, you know, our defense really needs to step up. Our defense really needs to shut down their run game, and give our offense a chance. I was really excited last night to see us finally get in the red zone and finally punch a couple in. That's been a big point of emphasis these last few weeks. We've moved the ball well on everybody. We picked up a ton of yards against every team we played, but we haven't finished drives well. And finally last night, we finished two big long drives, capped off by a couple touchdown runs by Lalo. It was great to see Jackson punch in those 2-point conversions. And so it was nice to see our guys finally see the fruits of their labors. And so hopefully carrying that momentum in offensively, and then we need to take a big step forward defensively.
And coach, this year, this time of year anyway, we have a tendency to focus on the seniors and senior night and all those festivities, which is a wonderful thing to have. But as a freshman and as a sophomore and an underclassman at this time, you're almost a full year in. So kind of talk about what freshmen, sophomores, and juniors have you seen kind of start to embrace that leadership role as we come to the end of this regular season and not only start looking toward the tournament, but also toward next year?
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously we've had a ton of freshmen and sophomores and juniors step up because we have five seniors and two of them are out injured. So we only play three seniors. Now, obviously, like Lalo and Jackson and Dakota are all three huge impact guys, but you know, our offensive line goes sophomore, sophomore, junior, junior, sophomore. Our H-back is a sophomore. Our backup H-back is a sophomore. Our quarterback's a junior, and our two wide receivers are a sophomore and a junior. So those guys have had a lot thrown on their plate from the get-go, and they've done a great job, you know, just growing up over the course of the year, going back to weeks one and weeks two and weeks three. Like, the team that we're coaching right now has improved so much from those early games. They've learned so much, they've gained so much, and the way we're playing right now is at a much higher level than when we were playing week one and week two. So that's been really exciting to see the growth in those kids. You know, we're at film right now, and we got everybody in here, and our OC's taking them through our last two touchdown drives about how, hey, like, it's great that we scored touchdowns here, but, like, how can we still get better? How can we still improve? And so those little things is huge for those young guys. The other cool thing is we flipped senior night to the start of the year this year. So we've already had our senior night. Because, you know, the weather starts to get cold and it starts to get rainy and it starts to get, you know, unpredictable. And so we got to have our senior night when it was nice, when it was sunny, when it was warm. And then we can kind of just focus in right now these last 2 weeks of let's go 2-0 and let's go into the tournament strong. We're getting a lot of guys back healthy. We're getting five guys off of IR this week, which is huge.
And speaking of unpredictable weather, how do you get a team just mentally prepared to play in that type of weather that you saw in the previous week? I think that's got to be one of the wildest and craziest things, because there's no way to simulate that. How do you just mentally prepare them
I mean, as a football guy, that's the kind of games like everybody loves to play in because it's fun, it's wild, it's crazy, it's warm. It was like 60 all night, even though it was a downpour. And then the big thing is your footing and gripping the ball. And so we took one of our old footballs and we dunked it in a bucket of ice water. So the ball was cold and the ball was super slippery. And we ran the whole practice with wet ball, working on grip and working on how to take the exchange with a wet ball. So there's ways that you can drill those situations without being in those situations. And it obviously paid off against Western Boone. We didn't have any, we lost zero fumbles in an absolute downpour. And so, you know, that was a great job by our kids being able to execute in some crazy conditions. And then we come back this week and it's, you know, like 80 degrees on the turf at Danville. So we go from a hurricane to back to being hot again. And so that takes a toll on guys' bodies as they try to adjust to the change in the climate. But hopefully the weather stays nice and cool this week. We're looking forward to having a great week of practice and getting ready for Northmont. You know, they're always a great team, and we got to go to their place. And then we come back and end the season with Crawfordsville at home, and then we get the sectional draw in between that. So it'd be nice to get a home game in the sectional instead of having to drive all the way to Marion.
Yeah, that's definitely a drive. Just making that drive for myself from Kokomo to Marion, that can be a pretty long haul, especially on a bus and everything.
Yeah, we've played on the road more times than we played at home in my time so far here at Frankfort. Like, and we've played some really, really great teams in the sectional. You know, we've played Roncalli and Chittard and Kokomo over the years. Like, it'd be nice to get a home game against a team that is going to be a competitive game. That would be really exciting. It'd be a fun matchup. We're not on fall break. We'll have all the kids back for the first time. Usually we're on fall break that week, so it's like a ghost town around here. Whereas this year, fall break falls on week 9 for us, falls on the Crawfordsville game. And so it'd be nice to have, you know, a lot of kids out there in the student section supporting our guys who've worked their tails off all year. You know, football is a very demanding sport. It's very physical and it's very hard. It's hot in the summer. You're wearing a bunch of pads. You're hitting each other. It's a grind, and it's not just 10 weeks in the season. We're starting all the way back in July. So we're talking, you know, 14, 15 weeks that these guys have been going at it. It doesn't matter what the record is. Like, you should support people for the amount of effort and the work that these guys are putting in, because they're doing a tremendous job working hard every day.
Absolutely. And one thing we talked about before the season was the youth programs, and that's what I kind of wanted to get into. We know with so many injuries you guys have had this year, you've had to take a couple of JV games off the schedule, but talk about the youth programs, the JV program, and how you're kind of building up Frankfort football.
Yeah, I mean, our JV guys are sitting at 2-2 right now. We got banged up, you know, our starting center was out, our starting quarterback was out, two of our starting running backs were out. So we're missing the entire core of the offense, and all four of those guys play defense. And so we're like, that's too many cards to shuffle. That's too many pieces to just try to put a random person in there. And so we push those JV games to let those guys get healthy. They're healthy now. They're cleared. And so they're going to be playing on Saturday, which we're excited to see them get going again. And we've had, you know, this freshman class, really this whole group of kids have come up through our youth program. I started our youth program back when I first got the job here, because there was no youth football here at Frankfort. And so between me and Rich Kelly and Joe Catron, we had to completely rebuild and restart an entire youth league, and now it's humming along, and these guys are the kind of first the first wave of kids who have come through that youth league. I mean, I talked to these freshmen about it at the start of the year. I remember back when they were third graders and they were playing flag football, and Frank Vega was coaching them on the Steelers. And now all these guys are now freshmen in high school. They're battle tested. They know what they're doing. they've come up, and Coach Vega's done a tremendous job with them, and he's kind of followed them every step of the way, all the way through. And so we're really excited to see how this freshman and sophomore group continues to grow and develop. I mean, we're leaning on a lot of them already on Friday nights. You know, Benny Chuka's a sophomore. Daniel Martinez is a sophomore. Luis Madera is a sophomore. Naaman Martinez is a sophomore. Logan Light's a sophomore. And so those guys have been playing all season. They've been varsity guys all season. And it's tough to thrust a sophomore into that role, because you're playing against guys who are all juniors and seniors. But over the next 2 years, as they continue to grow, as they continue to develop, as they hit the weight room, it's going to pay some huge dividends down the road.
And you already kind of mentioned some of the unsung heroes in the youth leagues, but talk about how someone can get involved if they're interested in becoming a youth football coach. And, you know, do they contact you? Can they contact some of the people that you mentioned? What's the process of going about it? Because I think there are a lot of people that want to be involved in some way, even if it's donating equipment or anything like that. How can a person get involved with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just as easy as reaching out to me or Rich Kelly, because Rich has been the president of the league, and then I set up all the teams, I set up all the schedules. Over the last 2 years, Rich has ran all the signups, and so between the two of us, we got the answers for every question, and so we could help anybody get involved in any way they want. And so that's pretty easy. It's just getting people to reach out and commit the time and commit it to an everyday kind of thing. I mean, our fifth and sixth grade coaches do a tremendous job, but it'd be great to get some more people on board and dedicated and passionate about the flag program as well, because that's where you learn the nuts and bolts of the game before you start hitting people, right? Like, if you don't know how to carry a ball properly, if you don't know how to throw a ball, if you don't know how to catch a ball, if you don't know how to get in three-point stance, it doesn't matter how many times you're hitting people in pads, right? It's the details. It's the little things that matter. And so getting some dedicated people who are excited and passionate about it and willing to put in the time and the energy and show up consistently, that's such a big thing. And so, yeah, like, you know, Rich, myself, Mencho Garcia runs our fifth and sixth grade team. They could reach out to all of us, and we could get them going.
Well, thank you, Coach, for joining us for quarter number two of Inside the Huddle. The Frankfort Hot Dogs will be playing on the road next week against North Montgomery. Good luck in that game, Coach.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. Join us for third quarter of Inside the Huddle coming up with head coach Blake Bethner of the Carroll Cougars. We're taking a break. You're listening to Inside the Huddle.